going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City! A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive. With Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. I am excited because we don't have any more speculation about what the Chiefs should do in round one. We now have our answers. The Kansas City Chiefs at pick 32 select Joshua Simmons, a very talented offensive tackle out of Ohio State. We'll break that down for you coming up momentarily. Binkley is going to join us in studio. Binkley is not a huge fan of this pick.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it.
Binkley is going to be in studio coming up in an hour to explain to us why he doesn't like this pick. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, is going to be on the show coming up at 4 o'clock. I'm assuming he loves this pick. He is going to tell us why he is a big fan of this selection coming up in a couple of hours. I'll give you my thoughts. We'll take you guys' thoughts. We'll also read some tweets from draft people and give you what they think about this. We'll also play some audio to let you know what those same people think as well. We've got you covered, all things draft here on 96.5 The Fan. Before we get to the open of the show today, I want to thank everybody that had the opportunity to come out last night to the Landing in Liberty. It was a great time. Had a lot of fun. We watched a little NBA. We had some laughs. We also watched the NFL draft, and we saw the Kansas City Chiefs select Joshua Simmons with the 32nd overall pick. All right, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan, and I need you to tell one friend. It'd be great if you could tell two friends, but you know what? If you just told one friend to check out the show, you know what? I would be thrilled, ecstatic, if you can do that. This is the selection that made the most sense for the Kansas City Chiefs. The board felt very wide open to Kansas City in how it was starting to fall in the back half of the first round. I told you guys this once we started this draft process. There were not many things that I was going to be upset if the Chiefs ended up deciding to do. If the Chiefs have drafted Luther Burden with the 32nd overall pick, I wasn't going to be upset. Will Johnson, a very talented corner who people thought could potentially go in the top 12, top 15 from Michigan, he had fallen down the draft board. You guys know I get the nickname Corner Dot. I would have been perfectly fine if that's the direction they had wanted to go. We had talked about offensive tackle for the last couple of weeks on this show, and Joshua Simmons was the one that I had identified as the one that I wanted them to take. So I think as we saw the draft play itself out, I think it became more and more clear that Kansas City was in a sense of control and the board was wide open in relation to what they wanted to do. This is the draft pick that made the most sense for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, to start things today, let's go through the possible scenarios of how this could play itself out. Because at least for me, I cannot tell you how you feel about this move. But I am looking at this as a red shirt, aka break in case of an emergency type of situation. Now, we can dive deeper into the finances of this move, but the Chiefs just gave Jalen Moore $21 million guaranteed a month ago. I'm assuming they like him. And if you like somebody enough to give them $21 million guaranteed, then I would consider them to be the starter heading into this season. So I'm looking at Jalen Moore as the left tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I know that we've had our jokes and our back and forth and our agreements and disagreements about Juwan Taylor. Juwan Taylor will make $21 million guaranteed this season from the Chiefs. His contract is $21 million guaranteed. His dead cap hit is $37 million. You might not like the answer to this, but Juwan Taylor is going to be their starting right tackle because he is worth 9.81% of their salary cap. You are not benching almost 10% of your salary cap for the upcoming season. So I am looking at the Joshua Simmons move, not as they made a first round pick in the 2025 draft. They made a first round selection in the 2026 draft. You now give a very talented player who was good enough to be a 3-year starter at The Ohio State University. You have now given him a full year to rest, a full year to get stronger, a full year to change his nutrition, a full season to sit back and develop and start for you in 2026. That's a win. One point that I've made this week is if the Chiefs are going to find their left tackle of the future, and in some ways their right tackle of the future, you're going to need some things to work in your favor. And one of the ways that it can work in your favor is you have a player that probably should have been a top 10 pick, probably should have been a top 15 pick, but because of injury concerns, because of character concerns, whatever it is, he started to fall down the draft board. And not only did you take a starting caliber left tackle or right tackle in the first round, you got a fifth round pick to do it. This is the best case scenario for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is how I see this playing itself out. And that's why I said, if you disagree, we'll take phone calls today, 913-586-7965. This is the best possible outcome to me for the Kansas City Chiefs for this upcoming season. Jalen Moore pans out. Jalen Moore ends up being a top 12 left tackle in the National Football League. And all he really needed was to be given an opportunity. He goes out there. He starts every game for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's healthy. He's productive. He's a great locker room guy. And you have him under contract for next season. Maybe you're talking extension. Maybe you want to see how his 2-year deal plays itself out. But best case scenario for the Chiefs is that Jalen Moore is their left tackle for next season. He has a really strong year this year. And next year, you just continue over what you've had and you keep that continuity. Kingsley Suamataia works out as a second-round pick. We don't need to spend any time talking about center and right guard. You have those positions filled. And then at right tackle, when you will next season save $20 million moving on from Juwan Taylor, you insert Joshua Simmons, who is ready, fully healthy, developed, and ready to be a contributing starter for your team. And now you got $20 million to play with, to go pay George Karloftis, to go pay Trent McDuffie, to maybe go sign a player in free agency. That is the best possible outcome for this organization. Maybe Joshua Simmons ends up being your left tackle and you move Jalen Moore over to right. Someone has to play right tackle. Jalen Moore has played 55 snaps in his NFL career at right tackle. Joshua Simmons has been a career left tackle in the league. Someone has to move to the other position. But you know what the Chiefs haven't had in a long time? A good problem at left and right tackle. They have not been in a situation where it feels like they have an abundance at one of the most important areas on the field. So whether it's you figured out your long-term answer at left tackle or you figured out your long-term answer at right tackle, both are expensive, both are important. And with the 32nd overall pick and having the ability to pick up a fifth-round pick, it was a no-brainer to me for the Kansas City Chiefs. This was a very smart move. The board worked out exactly how you wanted it to, and this is a move for the future to help solidify one of the few question marks that they have. You can't be mad at that. Yesterday was a great day for the Kansas City Chiefs. It was a testament to their patience and seeing how the board was going to fall. It was smart general managing to move back one spot and still get the player that you want from a team that obviously you have history with the Philadelphia Eagles, but they took a player that you had no interest in taking. So yes, you were happy to take Joshua Simmons at 31 if he was there. You got him at 32, and you picked up an additional asset that could help you move up in the draft. You could use that on a veteran player. Who cares what you use the fifth round pick for? It was free. It was a free. We'll talk about Luther Burden. We'll talk about some of the other things that they could have done at the position. But for an organization that has been trying to figure out left tackle since Eric Fisher, for an organization that has been trying to figure out right tackle since friend of the show Mitchell Schwartz hurt his back, yesterday they went out, they identified one of their biggest needs, and they answered it not just as a need, but also with maybe the best player available on the board. You cannot be mad at that pick that Kansas City made yesterday. It made the most sense. It lines up with their timeline. And if everything works according to plan, you are going to have five starting caliber offensive linemen next year who are all under the age of 26. You're going to have a younger left tackle, a younger right tackle, maybe the best center in the National Football League, a Pro Bowl all-pro caliber right guard, and we'll see how Kingsley Suamataia or Mike Caliendo develop over on that left side. But if your number one priority is to protect Patrick Mahomes and keep him upright, the Chiefs took a big step forward in that direction yesterday. Coming up on the other side, we'll hear from Veach, we'll hear from Todd McShay, we'll hear from some of the national voices about the Chiefs' first-round selection, but the Chiefs get Joshua Simmons, an offensive tackle, out of Ohio State. He is a guy who, if fully healthy, if everything had gone according to plan, you would not have been in a position to go get Joshua Simmons. But he hurt his knee earlier this year. He fell in draft boards. So you got a guy whose talent level is top 10, top 12, top 15. And you got him at 32 when you were able to pick up a fifth-round draft pick. Really good pick from the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll keep the conversation going. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
As men get older, our bodies change.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I want to read a text to you guys very quickly. CDOT, are you saying that Juwan Taylor is overpaid at his position? Yes. Are you saying that because he makes so much money, the Chiefs trust him? Because regardless of pay, don't you want to put the best player on the field? This is where, at least on social media, I know all of you are not on social media. I would say that maybe I am on the opposite side of everybody else. And I'm trying to look at this the way that I think NFL teams look at it. Juwan Taylor makes too much money for the Chiefs to give up on him at the beginning of the season. As of now, the only player who has a bigger cap hit this upcoming season than Juwan Taylor is Patrick Mahomes. Juwan Taylor he accounts for 9.81% of the salary cap. The only player who is going to make more cash this season as of right now than Juwan Taylor is Trey Smith because he is currently under the franchise tag. The Chiefs have had opportunities to get out from under the Juwan Taylor deal, and all they've done is dig themselves deeper into the contract. They restructured his deal after the first season. They also restructured it in the middle of the season to go get DeAndre Hopkins. When Juwan Taylor was still on the roster at the beginning of last season, it fully guaranteed this year for $19.5 million, and he gets a guaranteed $500,000 if he simply shows up to OTAs. They are in this for $20 million for this upcoming season. Now, I know idealistically, you would love to think that the best players play and teams don't care about the contracts. That's not how NFL teams operate. As bad as Russell Wilson was that first year for the Broncos, he got another year because they paid him too much money. The Browns would still be starting Deshaun Watson if he was fully healthy because they've given him all that money to go out there and be the starter. The Chiefs like Juwan Taylor more than I think fans want to acknowledge that they do. And they've also, at least for this upcoming season, they have tied themselves to Juwan Taylor in a way that you are not benching the second highest paid player on your team for this upcoming year, especially when, I think if we're talking about it from the on-the-field perspective, I'm not sure if Joshua Simmons is going to be 100% by the time it's time to start playing football. Now, he might be able to go through some of the drills, but we're talking about a guy who had a significant leg injury and missed the second half of his season, and if you were listening to how people feel like he is going to recover, he should be back on the field in August or September, but I don't think he's going to participate in any of the mini camp stuff, any of the rookie camp stuff. I think he's starting this year a little bit behind the eight ball, but that's fine. You have him for a maximum of five seasons. So if he redshirts this year and you get him for 4 years on the back end, that's great at what you gave up. That's great at what you paid. I don't have any problem with them going out and getting Joshua Simmons. In fact, it is in line with what I thought they should do. They were in a unique position that they didn't need to hit a home run this year. They were in a unique position that they didn't need from day one to draft someone that needs to help them in this 2025 season. And where they needed the most help in 2026 and thinking ahead was where they drafted. So whether you think they got a left tackle for next year or you think they got a right tackle next year, it is safe to say that one of their tackle positions is going to become available. One of them is going to be available. Well, now we know who one of those options is potentially going to be with Joshua Simmons, and you also added a fifth-round pick to do it. I'm thrilled about that part of it. Let me play for you guys what Todd McShay had to say. He had very high praise for the Chiefs' first-round pick.
Josh Simmons from Ohio State, I've said for most of the year, is the best offensive tackle in the class. And the more I look at it and the more I watch him, the more I'm convinced I was right then. If New England were to take Josh Simmons at four overall, I wouldn't even blink. He's that damn good. He is the most gifted tackle in this class. And
this is what I wrote. This is my first line.
It's not even close.
In all caps, most talented offensive lineman in the class, ... Not close, IMO, in my opinion. Go ahead.
So we agree. I just don't get it. He's that good. The ACL, I think, is the biggest issue here. If we were talking about him, if he had finished the season and he had run through the playoffs where he played those teams, they played all those great teams, I think if he had faced them, he would have shown how good he is. This is a guy that's slipping through the cracks for reasons I don't understand. I think when I do my final rankings, he's going to be higher than I think most people have him.
Simply put, I believe that Josh Simmons, I believe in the Brett Veach era is maybe a good way of defining this. I think he's the best offensive line prospect they will ever have the opportunity to get. This is not the kind of player that is usually available at 31. And if he's available at 31, there is usually a reason why that player is available at 31. Now, I can't speak to any of the character things that people are talking about off the field. Like, I can read you some tweets here from people that say that character immaturity. I can't speak to that. But I do think him not playing the second half of the season, him having the significant knee injury, ended up being a negative for him. It cost him money in this draft cycle. Well, if you're a team like Kansas City and you're looking to get a high-end tackle prospect, you kind of need a player to drop a little bit. And he was the player that just dropped a little bit this year. All in all, I think this worked out perfectly for Kansas City. You still have pick 63. You still have pick 66. You pick up a fifth round pick. And now you have the opportunity to wheel and deal and maneuver around the board to go fill some of the other needs that I think you had on your roster. So you heard from Todd McShay. You heard from a national voice. Here is somebody who covers Ohio State. We had Chico Boardman on the show a couple of days ago, and we asked him for a scouting report on Josh Simmons.
I think when you look at him, just the size, I mean, 6'6", about 320. He got hurt, obviously, and we'll touch on that a little bit more, but got hurt about five games in. But, I mean, CDOT, if he doesn't get hurt, no disrespect to Will Campbell and your boy Membo, who I like a lot, you know, there's a good chance Josh Simmons is tackle one. But he did have the injury. You know, when he transferred from San Diego State, he made that transition from right tackle to left tackle. And sometimes that's not easy to do for him. It was pretty seamless. So, you know, he's not a mauler in the ground game. But I think if you're looking for just an extremely athletic and just God-given ability and height and weight and all that stuff, he's going to bring that. He's got a good motor. You know, the injury, it's the PCL. So, you know, that's something that the team, I'm sure, is triple and quadruple checked as far as the meds go. But I think he'd be a perfect fit for you guys on that left side, left or right side. But I think he's more than capable of filling that bill.
That was Chico Boardman talking about the Chiefs' new left tackle or potential right tackle, Josh Simmons. This is from James Palmer, friend of the show. The Chiefs get left tackle Josh Simmons out of Ohio State. If Simmons didn't suffer a torn patella tendon, he would have been the first tackle off the board. I had one team tell me he was the most athletic and talented tackle tape that they watched. There are some maturity issues, but the talent there at 32 is nuts. That was James Palmer. Here is Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. He puts out, several teams agree. Josh Simmons had the best tape of any offensive tackle last year, and they aren't very concerned with the recovery on the torn patella tendon. More of the concern is maturity slash character, but he is going to the ideal veteran-laden place. These are the kinds of players that when you don't have glaring needs and you do not have an alarm that is screaming, you have to draft this. You are able to take chances on players like this. You're able to go get a player that maybe he suffers with some immaturity, but you're coming to a championship level club. And if that can't wake you up and straighten you out, then you just weren't going to be a good pro. And you're also going to have time to heal, rest, and recover that we feel like we can get the physicals to where they need to be. This is a player where I think the Chiefs got top 15 value. I think they got that at 32. And if you're looking for a left or a right tackle, that is exactly what you're looking for a team that usually picks in the range that Kansas City does.
Me and you, in a rare twist of fate when I'm talking draft, because we very rarely on the same page, are on the same page here. I think the player is absolutely worth the risk at 32. I also love the fact that you traded out of 31, got a bonus pick for essentially no cost. Like, the Chiefs walked away from last night in a near perfect situation. They have a guy that they think can be left or right tackle of the future. You have a need at potentially left and definitely right tackle of the future following the 2025 season. He is a guy that is definitely boom or bust, but if when he was healthy, he's probably not available at 32. It is a perfect situation for the Chiefs. I also, and you're right, I can't speak to the player's maturity. People who do the research on it are saying there's some concerns there. But have we ever had a player in the Chiefs locker room that you felt like, oh, he's just immature? I feel like those guys usually tend to fall in line because it's a good culture and a good situation. So this is an absolute win. The only, you know, pinch of frustration I have, and it's like under 1%, is I don't love first round picks being redshirt guys. We talked about before the draft, they probably need to walk away with 2-3 starters. After day one, they're 0-4 on starters. But that's just an iota of how I feel. In reality, the good massively outweighs the bad. And Josh Simmons is a perfect fit and a player that if the situation was normal with his health, he's not available at 32. So win for Brett Veach and Co.
Let's talk about a couple of the quarterback situations that we saw pop up in round one of the NFL draft. Let's start with the Jackson Dart trade that I think the Giants made a really, really smart move. So the Giants move back into the first round and pick Jackson Dart at pick 25. They made that trade with Cleveland. Cleveland picked up pick 34. They also picked up pick 99, so they pick up an additional second-round pick, and they also get a third-round pick just to move down 9 spots in the draft, and Cleveland is still in a position that we'll see how they end up handling those selections. This is nothing if you end up hitting and being right on your quarterback. I think you could get a sense that the buzz was trending towards Jackson Dart being the second quarterback taken in the draft probably the last, 2 to 3 weeks or so. I've been mentioning it on this show. There has not been a positive Shedeur Sanders story in weeks. Draft buzz works in two directions. Sometimes buzz works that it moves a player up the draft. You guys remember when Patrick Mahomes was getting selected, you could feel, hey, he's going to go a little higher than you guys think. Hey, if you want Mahomes, you better make sure that you're picking in the top 12. You better make sure that you're picking in the top 10, or he's not going to be there. In this year's draft, I think you got that sense with Kelvin Banks for the Chicago Bears. Hey, people really like Kelvin Banks. He's not going to be available in the teens. He's not going to be available in the 20s. If you want him, you're going to have to make a jump to the top 10. The same thing happens in reverse. Hey, I don't know about this, man. Teams aren't feeling this player the way that you think. He's potentially going to move down. So I think we saw that in both cases. I think we saw that Jackson Dart has simply moved up draft boards. I think we've also seen the opposite, that Shedeur clearly moved down people's draft boards. The Giants handled this perfectly. We're going to take the best player available at 3. And if we think the value is there, and we also think that we can get this quarterback for a lot cheaper than what you usually would have to. I mean, usually this has to cost you $34.99 and a 2 next year, or you potentially got to trade a future 1 to go up to go get your quarterback. You move down 9 spots and all you got to give up is a 2nd and a 3rd round pick. If Jackson Dart turns out to be a starting caliber QB, if he turns out to be a franchise guy for the Giants, this will be the move that defines this year's draft, aside from the trade that we saw with Travis Hunter. Really smart moving quarterback by the Giants.
I mean, the way they managed the board was smart, but do you think Jackson Dart's that guy? Like, that's the ultimate end-all be-all for me. The way they handled the draft is smart. You get Abdul Carter, who I think is a really good pass rusher. You might have the best defensive front in football now for the Giants between Abdul Carter, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Brian Burns. Like, that is freak show good. And then you're able to get back into the first round. It's late in the first round, so the cost is less, and you get your quarterback. The question for me, and the question with every draft pick and every trade and every conversation we have at the draft, boils down to this. Do you think Jackson Dart's the guy? Because you watched more SEC than me. I never walked away from Ole Miss games being like, oh, he's transcendent. He's an NFL guy. He's a can't miss. Oh, I'm going to. There was buzz and hype, but when you watch his tape, you know, it's tape watching season. But when I watched him at Ole Miss, I was kind of like, yeah, he's good. And maybe he's worthy of a first round pick and you develop him and there's something there. But I never felt like, oh, Jackson Dart's an NFL quality franchise starting quarterback when I watched him at Ole Miss, which will be the determining factor. And I have my thoughts and complaints with that player.
I'm going to separate the two things, so I don't disagree with you. I agree with you that I don't see franchise quarterback from Jackson Dart, but I do see some of the physicals that maybe it's there. I do think that Brian Daboll is someone who has a track record of having the ability to get it out of the player. If you're Brian Daboll, this is the first time that they've let you pick your quarterback. You did not pick Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones was given to you by management and when you decided to take the job. So if you're Brian Daboll and you're fighting for your NFL life, so to speak, at least when it comes to being a head coach, and I'm guessing if we look on FanDuel, if we look on DraftKings, who is likely to be the first coach that's fired, I'm assuming his name is near the top of the list. you finally give me a quarterback that I like, that I can work with, that I can build up. And the best thing for you from a job security standpoint is to try to win 7 or 8 games this year. Try to win 7 or 8 games. Jackson Dart looks promising. And we are talking about the Giants as a team that in 2026, 2027 can be a possible playoff team. That's one side of it. I would say the other side of it is, given what you spent to go acquire the player, if you miss on Jackson Dart, oh well, draft another one. Because of the rookie cap and because you didn't overpay for this player, if you got to spend a first round pick on a quarterback next year, oh well. Oh well. If he ends up flaming out and he is Josh Rosen, for example, all right, well then if the Giants get the 3rd overall pick, then go draft your quarterback. So that's where I think the Giants, I don't want to say it's a can't-lose prospect with Jackson Dart, because obviously you lose the 25th overall pick, you lose the other compensation, but you got to keep taking shots at trying to figure out if you have that answer. We saw the Tennessee Titans. They spent the 2nd-round pick on Will Levis. That didn't seem to stop them from making the number 1 overall pick and moving on and going to get Cam Ward. I think it puts the Giants in a very, very similar category to what the Tennessee Titans are. And now you see if it works. But now, with the importance of the position and also the turn and burn at quarterback, at head coach, and general manager, hey, if this thing doesn't work, we're all getting fired anyway. Jackson Dart, Brian Daboll, and the general manager. So we might as well draft him. Now, if I'm the Giants, I'm getting another wide receiver. I'm having neighbors. I'm having another wide receiver. This is a great running back class. I put another running back with Tyrone Tracy, Singletary, and the other options that they got. And I try to give myself a chance to compete possibly for one of those wild card spots. But you got to try to do something this year. Or if it doesn't work out, Brian Daboll, I'm telling you, they will fire you. And you will be back to being the offensive coordinator from some team that has a chance of making the playoff. And I ain't talking about the NFL playoff. I'm talking about the college football playoff, because you will be the offensive coordinator at Tennessee next year if this thing doesn't work out. But you at least got to shoot if you're the Giants.
I think it's, like I said, I think it's smart maneuvering by the Giants. The text line right now is varying on Jackson Dart. Some people are calling him Danny Dimes 2.0. Some people are calling him Bo Nix. Some people are calling him Josh Allen. Like, I watched a little bit of Ole Miss. I watched the big Ole Miss games. I didn't watch when they played Kentucky. I didn't watch Ole Miss when they were playing A&M. But when Ole Miss played that game down in the swamp in Florida, you know who was bad that day? Jackson Dart. I watched when Ole Miss had a chance to go to the college football playoff. They were getting hot toward the end of the season. And you know what I saw? I saw Jackson Dart fold. I saw him struggle in games down the stretch. I saw a guy who I think has a chance, if you develop him, to be a player. But I don't know that he's in a great situation either, because I think everyone's about to get fired. And now the next regime, if they're picking 3, ain't keeping Jackson Dart. So I think Jackson Dart has a chance to be a good NFL player. I have concerns about the player, but the actual maneuvering and for the Giants, it's smart. The player I worry about.
Yeah, and this is just maybe where I disagree. Dart won't even play this year. He's going to sit behind Russell and Winston and just observe and maybe start next year. That's always the plan in April. That ain't never the plan once the game start. I can give you too many examples. Sure, there's a Patrick Mahomes. There's a Jordan Love situation. 95% of these guys end up being Justin Herbert. I mean, we didn't plan on starting him, but he ended up being better than we thought, so we started him. Jackson Dart is going to start at some point this season. I've seen enough Russell Wilson to know Russell Wilson ain't good enough to keep that job for all 18 weeks of the NFL season. He is not that good. So at some point, that Giants team is going to be 2-4, and they're going to need a spark. And you know where the spark is probably going to come from? Their rookie quarterback in Jackson Dart. Russell ain't making enough money to hold off Jackson Dart. Neither is Jameis Winston. So I know what these teams say, and oh, that's the plan, and it's going to go that way. They did that same thing with Baker Mayfield. Well, Tyrod Taylor is going to start. Stop it. Tyrod Taylor is going to start for 3 weeks, and then you're going to start the number 1 overall pick. Jackson Dart is going to start at some point before Halloween. He will be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Let's talk about the other quarterback, which was Shedeur Sanders, that did not get drafted in round 1. This is where I think the name didn't do him a service. And I also think that we in the media didn't do him a service in this regard. He's a day 2 prospect. I think if you watch him, he is a day 2 prospect. But I get it. His dad's Dion. His dad is the ultimate salesman. He was a polarizing player in college football. He had a good, solid career, and that forced us to over-evaluate him. But that player used to be a second-round pick. Maybe it's because quarterback has gotten so expensive and it's the fifth-year option and we perceive that to have way more value than I think it does at quarterback. It certainly has value on other positions. I'm not really sure if it has the value at quarterback that it does for those other ones, that it makes it seem like if you're not a first-round pick at a quarterback, oh, you weren't good. Well, I mean, just 10 years ago, I mean, Derek Carr was a second-round pick. Andy Dalton was a second-round pick. Colin Kaepernick was a second-round pick. Drew Brees was a second-round pick. Like, you used to be able to get decent quarterbacks in that second round, in that third round, and you believe that they could potentially be a starter. That's what I think Shadur is. That's what I think he is. We should have never been having the conversation about him being a first-round pick. When all of the conversations were about his intangibles and about his mental makeup, and it was never about his 40 speed, it was never about his arm strength, it was never about those things, we were telling ourselves the ultimate answer to how this story was going to end. He wasn't going to be a first-round pick. He was never going to be a first-round pick. And I think what we saw as, there are some mock drafts that are media-driven. Hey, there's fun to click on. They're fun to read. We go on there. We talk about them, and they're fun conversational pieces. And as we get closer and closer to the draft, we start to realize, hey, Mel Kiper's been making phone calls. Todd McShay's been making phone calls. Daniel Jeremiah, this is a prediction business. You want to be able to say that you got these things right. And I don't think the NFL scouts ever felt that way about Shadur Sanders. Certainly not enough to spend the third overall pick on or the ninth overall pick on. He's what Will Levis was. We did the same thing a couple of years ago with Will Levis. Well, Will Levis might go fourth to the Colts. No, he's not. Will Levis is going 37th overall to the Tennessee Titans, and that is exactly what is going to happen with Shadur Sanders. He is a second-round pick, and there's nothing wrong with being a second-round pick as a quarterback. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about Luther Burden, who was available when the Chiefs selected and the Chiefs decided to go in a different direction. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Text line 913-586-7965. I've seen variations of this tweet. C-Dot, if Shadur's last name was Manning, would he have been a first-round pick? I think he would have been. I don't think any of that matters. I think that you could argue. I think behind Tom Brady, I think you could argue that Deion Sanders is the second most famous football player alive. I think you could make that argument about Deion Sanders. I don't think that him being Deion's son is a negative. I don't think that Shadur is a first-round prospect. I don't think that he is. I think Shadur will be the 42nd overall pick in this year's draft, and eventually he will have the ability to prove everyone wrong. If you're a second-round pick, you get a chance to start in the National Football League. You get a chance. Jalen Hurts was a second-round pick. Eventually, Jalen Hurts got a chance to lead an NFL team, and guess what? They just won the Super Bowl. So, no, I don't think that being Deion's son has been a negative for Shadur. If anything, I think it has been an overwhelming positive for Shadur. I don't think he gets Gatorade commercials. I don't think he's nearly as famous if he is just a regular person's kid. I don't think Shadur is super athletic. I don't think he's super mobile. I think he has a limited arm strength. I think he's a limited arm strength. That's why I think Shadur ended up being a second round pick. Coming up at the top of the hour, Binkley is going to join us in studio. He was not a fan of the Chiefs drafting Joshua Simmons. Here was his live reaction last night to the pick.
They announced Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
So that was Bink's reaction. We'll find out why he dislikes the Joshua Simmons pick coming up in just a little bit. I got a little bit of a bone to pick with Missouri fans. And then we're supposed to be on the same team, but sometimes you guys are unhappy with my predictions and thoughts and opinions, and sometimes that's life. What I've seen over the last 24 hours is we have blamed everybody else for why Luther Burden has dropped in the draft, and at no point have we thought, well, maybe Luther Burden is why Luther Burden dropped in the draft. I have been following Luther Burden since he was a sophomore in high school. Like, it was kind of known that, hey, he's going to be the best prospect in the state of Missouri, and Missouri really wants him. He's essentially Doyle Green Beckham. And Missouri has another chance to get the best high school player in the country. So if you're a Missouri fan, you've been following it for some time. There is no question in my mind about the ability of Luther Burden. I think he is one of the most dynamic players in college football when he had the ball in his hand. I think he can help you in special teams. I think he could be a number one wide receiver in the league. I think he could be a number two wide receiver in the league. I think Luther Burden is a dynamic football player. But I think acting like last year was all Eli Drinkwitz's fault. It was all Kirby Moore's fault as the offensive coordinator. It was all Brady Cook or all Drew Pine. I think you're letting Luther Burden off the hook for some things I thought that were fairly noticeable last year. I thought he quit. I thought he quit at multiple points during the season last year. I think once it was pretty clear that Missouri was not making the college football playoff, I think Luther Burden multiple times put his head down and quit on the team. I thought he was in self-preservation mode for basically the second half of the season. Hey, this season isn't going the way that I thought it was going to go. I've already gotten paid, and I know I'm going to the NFL. My number one goal now is to not get hurt. And I thought he played football for basically the second half of the season. I thought he played it like 70% intensity, 80% intensity. I think that shows up in film when you watch him. I also have my questions about Burden. And Rob, you've been here. You've heard me say this for a while. I question Burden's toughness a little bit too. Missouri fans, you know what I'm talking about. How many times was Burden almost hurt during a game? Burden would fall awkwardly, be laying there for 4 or 5 minutes, get up, and you're worried about if Burden's going to be able to continue, and then he comes back 3 or 4 plays later. That happened a handful of times in his college football career. So Burden is going to go in the second round. Burden is a dynamic player. He has a chance of being a very good pro. But we can't sit here and make it seem like Burden didn't play any part on why 4 wide receivers got taken ahead of him yesterday. So we can blame the offense. We can blame Brady Cook. Some of that is on Luther. And as a sophomore, he was arguably the best wide receiver in the country. He was explosive. He wasn't that this past year. And not all of that was the offense. He wasn't the best wide receiver on their team this year. Theo Weiss was. He wasn't the best wide receiver on Mizzou's team this past season. It is not some abomination. It is not some crime. No. Burden didn't have a good year and didn't really put good tape together this past year. Now, it's not going to stop him from being drafted. There is certainly a point where, all right, I'm taking a chance on the ability. I'm taking a chance on the player. And I think someone is going to do that coming up in a couple of hours or so. But I think we have to at least put some of why Luther Burden fell on the draft is because of Luther Burden. And all of the pie chart can't be other sources. It can't be Brady Cook's fault and Drew Pine's fault and Eli Drinkwitz and the offensive coordinator and the Gatorade persons. No, some of why he dropped in this draft and is going to be out of the first round is how he conducted himself for the final 12 to 13 games at Mizzou. I will say this, though, about Burden, and this is related to the Chiefs. It was really exciting to see as we were getting closer and closer to 31 and then ultimately to 32, how open the board felt. I thought the Chiefs could have done 3 things, and I'd have been perfectly fine with any of them. If they had taken a chance on the Burden talent, would have made a lot of sense to me. Burden might be the best player available. If you're just like going off player available, Burden might be the best player available starting today's draft. So if they had taken Luther Burden at 32, obviously wouldn't have been mad. I really like Will Johnson from Michigan. Like, I think he was the best corner in this year's draft class. He certainly was at one point in the college football season. I don't know why he's fallen the way that he has fallen, but I really liked him. And you know I'm big on taking a corner. I'd have been perfectly fine if the Chiefs had gone in that direction in round one. And I thought at offensive line, I thought Joshua Simmons made a lot of sense. He was a player that you and I mentioned. I think once we came down to it, Rob, there really wasn't that pass rusher for them to go get. There really wasn't that defensive tackle to get. I think it kind of got narrowed down to three players that made sense. I also think after they made the trade with Philadelphia, that was kind of it. Like, I don't really think that a team was going up to trade for Shadur. I think all the moves had been done for the day, and the Chiefs were going to make their selection, and they did. They got their offensive tackle for the future.
I think, you know what? I had a similar thought. I was sitting there watching the draft, and I thought, the Chiefs can go in a dozen different directions. I actually would have liked Will Johnson the best, but Will Johnson apparently is battling an injury. I was unaware of this, the medical. So it's possible that the Chiefs don't have a first-round medical grade on Will Johnson. But what struck me in that moment was the Chiefs did what every person we on the show said the Chiefs should do. Hey, there's depth at defensive line and edge. You're fine to wait. The kid from Marshall, Mike Green, that was a, you know, mobile superstar at the Senior Bowl, he's still around. The A&M guy, not the, you know, measurables guy, the actual pass rusher from A&M, Nick Scruton, he's still available. It's like, hey, there's good ones around too. They didn't reach for running back. There's tons of good ones still available in round two. There's defensive linemen available in round two. We'll wait on those positions because it's good depth. There are not going to be good offensive tackles available in round two and round three, at least the spot the Chiefs pick. So you know what? I appreciate Brett Veach for the first time this offseason. Positional value won the day because you can get a good edge in round two. You can get a running back, a wide receiver. You can get those guard. You can get them in round two. You weren't going to get a quality offensive tackle around two. So Brett Veach, very wisely, astutely, for the first time in a long time, said positional value matters. I'm taking the tackle.
Doesn't it feel good for us to be on the same page? Because there was not going to be the value for them to take the swing in the second or third round, not at left tackle. If you were going to take the swing this year on tackle, you were going to take it on who you drafted, or you weren't taking the swing at all this year. And if they had not taken the swing, okay, that's perfectly fine. But the best value, if you wanted them to go offensive line, they got the best possible value that they could without moving up. Now, they could have moved up. And if that's your argument today, hey, I wanted them to go get this, they should have potentially moved up in the draft, sure. But the best possible offensive tackle that was within reason for Kansas City, they drafted yesterday. And you still have your second round pick, you still have your 2 third round picks, and you picked up a 5th round pick. Now, go find yourself a corner because you've done really well in that area. Go get your running back if you need. Go find your developmental tackle that you can throw in there. The board is still wide open for Kansas City to go handle what you need to handle in the NFL draft. Coming up on the other side, Binkley is going to join us in studio. Binkley, not a fan of the Joshua Simmons pick. We'll find out why. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.